Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Matels Costa. He is a veterinarian and a veterinary microbiologist at Western College Veterinary Medicine in Saskatchewan, yes. And also with Utrecht University.
That's true.
So you really get around.
I do. I happen to travel around the world. I'm very lucky to have this opportunity to observe different perspectives of the industry, both in North America and Europe and Brazil.
Yeah, because you're originally from Brazil. You obviously have ties to the Netherlands, and now you're in Canada.
Yes, I do. So like I said, I'm lucky that I get to see how the industry is performing in three different continents. And obviously, this helps me with my research and teaching and all the other duties that I have.
Well, here at the Lehman Conference, you know, when you look at the program, there are a lot of presentations that zero in on a specific disease, whether it be PRRS or PCV or flu. But you're really talking about co-infections. And I guess that's really a good thing because it seems like these diseases never appear alone, do they?
Right. No, you're right. We usually, out in the field, we don't see one single disease. I mean, that would be a great textbook picture that we could just teach the students. Here's flu, and all that you have is flu, and that would be a fairly easy thing to deal with. But in real life, what we see is flu together with PRRS, and then there's strep soy, so it's always a combination of infections, and we're trying to help producers to manage those all together. So what I'm trying to do here is bring a grasp of reality into my talk and discuss those things in combination.
Are there actually more co-infections in the swine herds, or do we just have the diagnostic tools to pick up on these co-infections?
Yes, you're right. I think it's the second one, right? We always had co-infections, especially before we brought in this intensive hearing methods. When we were out in the field, definitely, you had parasites, you had bacteria, you had virus all together. But now we're actually looking at this in a less simplistic way, right? We're learning that nothing really lives alone on this planet. You always have something else, and that means that we have co-infections, and we have also what we'd call the resident microbiome or the resident virome. So it's a combination of factors acting together. And nowadays, a veterinarian needs to learn how to deal with everything at the same time and still, you know, deliver a result.
And I imagine dealing with co-infections is maybe even a little bit more challenging today because while we've got a lot of good vaccines, there is some pressure on the industry to use antibiotics more selectively, I guess would be a good word. So in terms of medicated feed additives, we're seeing less and less of those used all the time. Has that given rise to co-infections, do you believe?
I believe that given rise to selecting specific pathogens that may be more prone to survive this co-infection following treatment, right? Mm-hmm. So we may be vaccinating for, let's say, flu, a specific strain of flu, and that will give rise to a different strain to come in and survive the whole environment. While we think we don't have flu, but really at the end of the day, we have a different kind of flu that we selected following vaccination and a different kind of E. coli, for example, following treatment using antimicrobials in feed. So really, it became a much more complex. But at the same time, we're now in Europe and in Canada and soon in North America, we'll be moving away from using too much antimicrobials in feed, for example, and that will probably make things a bit more challenging from our perspective, but at the same time, we'll keep people on their toes regarding biosecurity and sanitation. So I think that will also help us have higher health herds.
So where does a swine veterinarian today begin with getting their arms around co-infections? Because as you said, we have tools that allow us to get a better understanding of what's out there, but boy, now we've got more to manage. Where do you start?
I think you start by trying to differentiate what really is the root of your disease and what's just an opportunistic bug that happens to be there and taking advantage of the situation. So the goal really and the most challenging aspect of a veterinarian's work nowadays is to identify those primary causes of disease. And once we have identified those, develop a plan so that we can deal with that. And later on, you might have to deal with other challenges that were just opportunistic. But again, you need to find the root of the problem first.
Now, you've done some research specifically looking at co-infections. Tell us about the work that you've been doing and what you're going to be presenting at the Lehman Conference.
What we've been doing is we're trying to figure out to develop a better plan for veterinarians to deal with this co-infection problem. So what I'll be talking about today here at Lehman is how I face one of these problems and how I developed a plan to tackle that challenge. And at the same time that we had a respiratory disease, we had a GI disease, a gastrointestinal disease, and how we can use a combined approach to deal with both at the same time, but without forgetting that there is a root to every problem, and we might have to tackle all your secondary agents later on.
So now you looked at one farm in particular. Could you tell us about that? What kind of operation was it, and what kind of mixed bag of infection were they harboring?
Yes, so that was a standard commercial operation for Canada, farrow to finish in two sites, and they were unlucky, I guess, to have at the same time, like I said, a respiratory disease, influenza, and a gastrointestinal infection, and that was a combination of pathogens. So really, we're thinking about rotavirus, some coccidioses, and E. coli, and at the same time, influenza, bringing in other pathogens that already exist in the environment, such as Streptococcus suis. So like I said, the most challenging part of this work is to identify what is the root of the problem or what is the primary pathogen. And usually that primary pathogen opens the door for other secondary pathogens to thrive.
And how do you go about identifying the primary pathogen? Where does the detective work begin?
The detective work begins in the farm. So observing what's going on in the environment, animal movement, where pigs are coming from, where they go to, what are the changes we have in the environment that may trigger such disease. And that is followed up by a lot of laboratory investigation, and that includes the support of pathologists, of veterinary microbiologists in the diagnostic lab. And as a team, and together with the farm manager and the staff, we can finally develop a plan to fight back these infections. So really, it's hard to say where exactly it starts. All I can say is that it's a team effort trying to cover every single angle and eventually come to an answer.
Well, tell me a little bit more about this farm, though. So you went in there, you did this detective work. What did you decide to do?
The detective work led to a surprise co-infection, first of all, in the farrowing room. So that meant that piglets were having diarrhea early on in their life. And that is surprising because you would expect them to be protected by maternal antibodies, so the immune system from the sow or the gild. And at the end of the day, what we end up doing is treating one of the infections with an actual medical compound, so treating coccidiosis. And then we also try to make the cells have a better immune response against rotavirus by providing feedback in their feed. So it was a combined approach, if you say it that way. We had a treatment, non-antimicrobial, but targeted at coccidiosis, and we also provided an immunity boost. And at the end of the day, that seemed to help them with their problem.
Now, normally I hear coccidiosis mentioned in the same sentence with poultry. Not too much with swine these days. Have you been seeing more coccidiosis?
No, this was a specific and surprising case. Where actually, as per standard, we wouldn't request testing for coccidiosis from the diagnostic lab. But given the histopathology, so the microscopic lesions we observed, and the fact that all we isolated from the bacterial site was E. coli, the things just didn't match. So at the end of the day, we have to do some extra detective work to get to that answer.
And did that surprise some of the other investigators in the study?
Yes, at that time it did, because at first we're actually thinking, wow, this may be a brand new E. coli that's causing this specific microscopic lesion. But guess what? What we're seeing is actually just regular E. coli thriving following some other primary pathogen causing lesions.
So what are the takeaway messages from your research? What information can you share with veterinarians today based on this experience?
I think is keep digging until you find the root of the problem. Sometimes the root of the problem is multiple roots. You're not just thinking about one single pathogen. You may be thinking about multiple. And once you think you're there, try to make evidence-based decisions to tackle those challenges and hopefully provide either it could be an immunity boost to the herd or a treatment, but something that will be long-lasting. So what we're trying to do here is change habits so that disease won't return to that herd specifically.
We've been talking to Matels Costa. He is adjunct professor and a veterinarian at the Western College of Veterinary Medicine and also Utrecht University in the Netherlands. Thanks so much for joining us today.